Hi everyone, my name's Az. I'm the CMO for Merkle EMEA, where we work with some of the best brands in the world to transform their customer experiences. We've got some great speakers lined up for you today. Welcome to our podcast discussing all the things that you need to deliver customer experience management. This is Connected.
My name is Serge Vermaion. I'm creative director of Merkle Netherlands, and I'm very glad that today I'm connected with Guy Howland. Guy, how are you doing?
I'm good, mate. Hello, everybody. I'm Guy Howland. I'm creative director for Merkle UK.
Maybe just to start off with, like, how is it to have a creative department within Merkle, which is obviously data and tech driven?
I mean, it's a very exciting opportunity I think we've got, because I think Merkle particularly, what we're trying to do at Merkle is obviously always being at the kind of forefront of that blend between data and technology. And obviously a third critical piece for that is creativity. And I think without that, the world becomes very grey and boring, and it lacks colour, let's say. We've been building the team for the last sort of 2 or 3 years, and not trying to just sort of go out by ourselves and do something standard from a kind of what you would see from a creative department. We've always tried to align with the approach that Merkle takes from a kind of data-driven, people-based approach, and build a creative offering that complements that really nicely, which I think has a very powerful potential to what that means for the future, and definitely where you see the industry going. Gives us that ability to harness some of that power that Merkle's got, and focus it into great creative work. How's it been for you?
Well, it's actually quite nice, because when I started the department a few years ago, it was all because we believed that you have the technology, you have the data, you can create any experience. But then you need to come up with the experience itself, actually. I mean, you don't just click on an email or a banner that has nothing. So there needs to be content in there, and who's responsible for that? And often you see brands struggling with doing that themselves, because they got so many things to be aware of, and they need to do so many other things than just come up with the creative content for whatever they want to do with their interactions with customers. So building that within an agency, I think is the best way to do it, because then you have people that are on top of the technology every single day. They know what's happening, they know what's out there, they know what the options are, and then you can deliver real experiences using all technical capabilities that are in there. So I think that's amazing that we have creators that not just come up with a great line of copy or a great image, but also think of how it can work for the customer in the experience itself.
Completely agree. I think just having creative teams and creatives with that mindset sort of built into them from just being part of the Merkle story is just adds that extra layer on it, where they think broader than just traditionally maybe what you think of from a creative perspective. I mean, you're absolutely right what you said about the kind of customer experience. I mean, we spoke about this recently, that Merkle's focus in CXM now, that X part of that story, the customer experience management, the X part, the experience is creative. That's the thing that the customer sees, and that's the thing that the customer will engage with, the thing that needs to inspire them, that needs to challenge their current way of thinking, that needs to inform them about something new. That's the real sort of integral part to that whole customer journey, is that no matter how mature or complex the technology that's being used to profile or target audiences, or the data that's being used to inform that journey that's being built, the end product is the creative experience. And that's what we can't ever forget. I think as an industry, we can all get caught up in that exciting next piece of technology, or that will automate this, that's, you know, AI here, and that's this, that, and the other. But it comes down to still those kind of creative experiences, because the emotional connection that you can create and connect with someone is still the important thing in the whole story for me.
Exactly. And I think that's one of the most challenging things that we need to deal with, because we are not the only ones doing this. And there's tons of brands every single day trying to reach us with their messages. And it's very hard to keep up with everything and to stand out, because there is a lot of good stuff out there. And I'm just wondering, like how do you deal with the fact that everything is like so data driven? We are so informed by data. So everything single time a brief comes in, it's always about recreating another success case, right?
Yeah.
Can you please do this? Can you please do that? Because we've seen that this worked in the past. How do you deal with that?
I mean, data is both our kind of best friend and our kind of worst enemy as a creative, I think, because there's definitely been a narrative over the last few years around the importance of data and how data and creativity can work together. I mean, I suppose when you boil it down to it, if you just followed data or best practice, you would have no new ideas. That's the result of it. There'll be no innovation, there'll be no new ideas. So I think it's particularly in this world, I mean, look, data is not really a new thing. I think that's the thing that everyone needs to kind of realize, is that there's always been data or insight, you know, way back before digital was a thing, way back before the internet, there was always some insight of some form of data that would be influencing, you know, a creative or a creative department to come up with new work or come up with an idea. And there was obviously always a view from a measurability perspective on what worked in the past. Obviously measurement was probably a little less sophisticated than it is these days, but I think the problem is these days, because the data is there's so much of it now, it's down to a creative to use the useful parts of that to drive insight to an idea, or to shape an idea more, or to understand more about that end person that is going to, the end customer, the end user, the end audience. The more picture that you can build up around a person and around who that end target audience is, the better equipped you are to developing ideas that might be suitable for the objective of the campaign. I think often sometimes where clients will brief in a new piece of work where they're citing the results of the last campaign and all, this worked really well, we want to do the same thing again and again and again. I think that's a product of risk is one thing, because putting out a brand new idea is risky. You know, it's not necessarily embedded in what's worked previously, but I think you can take inspiration from what works, has worked previously.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I always tell our clients as well. Like, if you keep doing what every else is doing because it works well for them, then you're just copying it and you're not creating something new, but you're just being a copycat. And the reason why some campaigns stand out is because they are different than what has been done before. So the question is, do you want to be like one of those brands that nobody will remember because they keep doing the same tricks over and over again? Or are you the one that wants to stand out and make a new success case? And I think that's where it becomes really interesting, and where you need creatives, because creatives, they have like this, I think it's intuitive, I would call it intuitive marketing. Like, they have this gut feeling, they know what's happening in the world, they have this sense of how it works, but they do not express it with numbers, but they express it with copy, or they express it with design. Yeah. And then they can come up with something. And what I always say when I'm talking with data scientists about this, or data engineers, is like, if you're measuring success, then there was a success. So if you are doing the math afterwards, then there was something that was already successful in the first place, and you're trying to figure out what was it that made it successful, and that is how the science and the data came around. But first there was the initial thing that had a success. And that's what I think creativity is, that sometimes you need to put something out there that hasn't been done before, but you need to see how it works. And sometimes you fail, but you can also have like a very big win there.
Yeah, I agree. I think often sometimes it's a result of almost like box ticking. So we need to fill this slot, we need to put out a new campaign, so let's just take what we've done before and tweak it and update it because it performed well last time. And I think that's the risk, particularly when everything is working at such a pace and speed, there's always a need to put out more and more stuff. It's almost a case of just stopping, taking a step back and really thinking about how we can do something new here. You know, what could be interesting or exciting? What is everybody else doing that we don't want to just fall into that same bucket? Because I've spoken about this before, it turns into a world of noise, you know, where it's just so much stuff for people to try and consume and engage with. And particularly if all of it's the same as what you've seen before, then it's nothing new, it's nothing exciting, it's nothing going to stop you in your tracks and make you smile or laugh or really think about you know, something in the world. So it's there are benefits to obviously data. You know, I think for us, it gives us that ability, like I was saying before, with understanding the audience, it gives us that ability to make creators potentially more relevant and maybe more personalized in places to particular audiences. But that's different from it driving the idea in the first place. So the idea is comes from many different sources, many different, it's that creative intuition, either from culture or from influences or just ideas that might come up that could drive something new for someone. But definitely when you're trying to make something more relevant, having that insight there does help to make it more tailored and personalized, particularly in you know, channels like CRM or email. Just knowing how to sort of tweak an email or how to tweak something to align it more with what an audience is interested with.
I think what's the balance there? Like, how do you balance it between just simply optimizing things and just making existing things better over and over again, or taking creative risk? Like, how do you decide what to do when?
A lot of it depends on the brief for me. It depends on the brief. It depends on the clients. I mean, I would always like to do something new every single time. But I think it's the extent of how new it is, because obviously, if it's a creative idea for a campaign that is quite brand new and it's like a creative strategy or a platform that needs to last for a while, then it's about how to be innovative, how to develop new ideas within that system, you know, how to sort of push it on to the next level, how to, you know, tell that story a bit further. So for me, it's definitely trying to do something new every single time. Because conditions have changed, people have changed, audiences have changed. It's about keeping it fresh and interesting so that whenever an audience or a person sees a new piece of creative from that brand, it's something they're interested in looking at rather than the same thing over and over again.
I'm using that principle every now and then to get a client into a mode of taking some extra risk every now and then. So in the past, you would say, like, we have this great idea and we have this safe idea. And then, well, depending on the brand, they would pick the safe idea or the real neat one. And then you had to go with that. And because now you have all the data and you can measure everything and you can run simple tests before you actually run the campaign, I always try to convince clients, like, okay, if you're in doubt about it, why not test it? Let's make two versions. Let's make one that is totally your safe bet and see the other one that we think with our expertise probably might score better. Let's test it. Let's see what it does. And sometimes you're right. Sometimes the client is right. But I think that if you use testing to, and not just like a simple tweak with, oh, we changed the header image or we changed the subject line and that's it. No, make it like a test plan. I call it instead of A/B testing, I call it A to Z testing. Like, you have to have a plan. Like, okay, one day we do the subject lines, one day we do the header images, then yeah. we do buttons. Like, make a plan for it for a whole year and start testing it. And if you have like a totally wicked idea, make a one-off and test that. And that's what I like about being in this industry, is that you can actually work together with your client and take them out of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
Also, sometimes as a creative, be put back in your box because you've been too creative. And that's what I like, because you're really doing it together now.
Yeah. I mean, testing, yeah, you can end up going down a rabbit hole with testing. And I think that's the risk with over-testing. A lot of the times is that every single new refresh of a piece of creative or a new email that you put out, you know, you've got this testing plan, and you end up going down this rabbit hole of such minute details that you start questioning, you know, the effect this is actually having on performance. Whereas I think the beneficial thing, the way I always look at testing, is stuff that is an actionable learning. So something that will have an inherent effect on the approach that you take with that brand moving forward. Things like subject line tests with emails are useful, but it's more from a sense of there being some kind of hypothesis behind that test that you've done. So we actually want to find out whether putting someone's name in a subject line test will increase the open rate of an email. Now that's quite a big thing, because that will help influence moving forward something. But choosing the difference between two words that only have meaning or context within that particular email is not really going to give you much insight moving forward. I'd much rather sort of be taking steps back, like you're saying, as testing, you know, something that's existing, that's worked before, versus a brand new idea. Let's, you know, let's try something completely new and different. Because, you know, when it comes down to it, the client's looking at it from a performance perspective, for whatever reason, you know, number of orders, number of people who clicked through to the website, number of people who have downloaded something. So it's about, you know, big changes that you can be implementing to have big effects, as opposed to just sort of minute details. Because this actually ladders in very well into something we spoke about recently, which is around best practice. Because your testing in the end ends up becoming, you know, what the client refers to as best practice, which just puts creatives in such a small box of possibility of what they can then do.
That's the same as when, like a few years ago, everybody was like, do something with pop-up, or do something with, what was that with the experiences that came everywhere, that everybody was like, oh yeah, we have to go viral with this. And then and just give me something viral.
But that
best practice is a best practice because it was original. There was only one original.
Yeah.
And copying that gets a lot of wear out very soon. But also they often underestimate the production value that is actually put in there in that one big thing that goes viral. I mean, it's very rare that you send out one thing that will resonate with such a large audience that that everybody wants to copy that. And sometimes you have to do a reality check with that. And that's what I also like about the testing for the creative department itself, that we get informed by the reports after a campaign, that you see that this performed well and that you try to analyze why it is. So with some of the brands, I do like quarterly checkups, that we have like everything that was put out there in one quarter and just see, okay, what performed well, what not, and why. And sometimes you see a pattern in there, and sometimes you see like, oh, it's completely weird that this one didn't work as well. What was happening? And then you dive deeper, and then when you look behind the numbers, then it turns out that there was some national event happening, or the weather was really bad. And then you get like serious discussion, like how can we anticipate on that? And I think that's really nice. And if I look at my team, the creatives there, they always love it when they get the feedback and the evaluation reports of every campaign, because they just know, oh, okay, this is something that I've been working on, and this is something I can improve. So you actually help them by making them part of that evaluation.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we go through it with clients as well, where, you know, we'll look at the results of a campaign or why something worked. And you're absolutely right. A lot of the time, or you know, some of the time, there's such outside influences due to what's going on in culture, what's going on in the news right now, the weather on that particular day, as you said, something that was on TV, a film that's out in the cinema at the moment. There's so many other influences that can, you know, change someone's mindset to make a piece of creative or campaign work really well at that moment. You know, we're going through it with a client at the moment where, you know, a piece of work that we did, I think, 2 or 3 years ago, which performed really well. I mean, it was a great piece of work that we did there that the client absolutely loves, and they kind of want to bring it back. So they're just like, oh, can we do that again? And we're like, yeah, but, you know, I mean, part of me is just like, we could do that again. But the other part of me is like, yeah, but we want to do something new. So that you can sort of take influence from maybe what worked before or why it worked so well, to sort of influence into maybe something new that you can do rather than just kind of going back again.
Yeah. And that's also interesting, I think, within within Merkle, within our network, is that back in the days when we went to the office, when I went to the London office a few times, and I saw your team working on things, and then you see what the local market in the UK and the local market in the Netherlands, how they are different, and what works in different countries. And I think that's fascinating. I saw your team working on things and I was like, oh, I wonder if this will work in the Netherlands, and the other way around as well. Like, this is very interesting. I think we should adapt it, but because it hasn't been done in the Netherlands before, then nobody is working on that because there was no best practice of that in the Netherlands. So, and that's what I really like. And I think that could be interesting on within a network, like how do you connect people and share best practices among different creative departments, because we're all little islands there. You got any ideas on that?
Well, I think it's something we've always meant to do. But I mean, yeah, for me, I think it's just about sharing great work with each other. I mean, work that we're proud of, or work that we're not too sure on, or we think we can push further, because getting different people's perspectives from different countries and cultures, despite the world being a much closer place these days, I think is definitely valuable. Because, yeah, there's influence. I mean, similarly, I've seen stuff that you guys have done over in the Netherlands and taken thought of that, thinking, oh, maybe we could adapt that for this brand in the UK, or maybe we could take that same kind of inspiration and idea. And I think it's the inspiration thing is the key thing in this, because, I mean, that's what influences a lot of creativity in the first place, is the inspiration you can take from lots of different places. So I think the more that we, as a group, can be sharing that type of thing, I mean, best practices, yeah, I've got a kind of love-hate relationship with best practice. I mean, best practice to me kind of falls into two camps. There is the actual format specs, so i.e. if we're, you know, producing a video for a Facebook story, you know, there's the specs of that format, i.e. Yeah. Don't put anything in the bottom or top 20% because it will be, you know, conflicted with overlays, that native overlays that the channel will put on. That's different from, I suppose, developing so many best practices around a particular format that it controls any form of innovation or creativity on it or trying something new. So, but you can take inspiration from stuff that you've done in the past or best practices from it, but I think they should always be taken with that pinch of salt, along with, you know, the sort of drive to do something new.
Well, there is a bit too much focus on best practices. I mean, we always focus on best practices. When you have like the monthly town halls or whatever, it's always about the best practice. I would challenge that. I would love to challenge that and say, like, let's start from now on. I mean, every 3 best practices should be shared along with a worst case.
Yeah,
like come up with the thing that performed the worst in the last period, or talk about the client that you lose sometimes. I mean, why did they decide to go elsewhere? Because I think that's where you really learn and really can innovate. Because the best practices, and you, like you said, you keep optimizing the things that have been done before, but you really learn the things from the things that went wrong. And I think maybe that is something that we should more focus on, like what went wrong and what do we learn from that? How can we improve that?
Yeah. I mean, there are certain best practices that we'll use with work that we know work well, you know, something like a display ad that's lower funnel, where you're trying to sort of drive direct response from it. Putting a call to action button on it tends to get people to click on it. There's certain best practices that do tend to work. You know, on email, the way you lay out an email design, you know, has a certain approach sometimes that you will take.
Yeah.
But I still argue that more importantly than just the best practice, it does come down to the creative and the messaging and the artwork, the design, the motion that's in that piece of creative more so. To see the best practice of things like where you put the button and, you know, where you position things as just a way to enhance it further.
Yeah.
Because you could have two ads that have got best practice in it, and one could be crap creative and the other one could be a brilliant idea. And it's still going to be the one with the better idea that's going to outperform it and win.
Exactly. And sometimes you, because that's also the misconception about best practices, that often the metric and the KPI becomes like the reason why it's a best practice. But sometimes you know that something will convert better if you do it this way. But on the long term, that's not what you want to achieve. I mean, you can say click here, and you know that people will click when you compared to when you would say something more subtle. But if you keep shouting like click here, click here, click here, click here, and people associate your brand with, oh, that's the brand from the click here, and that's your goal, I mean, that's perfectly fine. But what if you want to have like another experience with your client in the long run, and you want to have customers to think of your brand in a different way, then maybe you don't want them to take action right now. And especially with awareness campaigns, you need to measure it in the long run.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, interestingly, the funny argument with it is that if everyone follows the best practices, I mean, I suppose firstly, people misconstrue best practices as being rules. They're not the rules. It's not a playbook on how you should do stuff every single time. The ironic thing about best practices, though, is that if everyone ends up following best practices, it loops round to the start of our discussion around creativity in the world of data, that if everyone follows the same best practice, everyone ends up with relatively the same product, and so therefore doesn't stand out. And it all comes back to the same thing about remaining creative and still producing great ideas. I mean, you're seeing the same effects in other industries, like the music industry and the film industry, where best practices and what has sold well before ends up influencing dozen of other artists or dozens of other sort of movie producers to make the same thing again. And what you end up with is people saying, oh, all the music these days sounds the same. And there's a reason for that. It's because everyone follows the same formula in terms of structuring out a piece of music rather than trying to be innovative or creative or think of something new again.
Let's have some closing thoughts there. Do you have something that you think is like a real nice summary of what we talked about?
I suppose, you know, to sum up for me, data, best practice, however you want to kind of define it, of things that creatives could view as limiting them, are a benefit to what we do. They can help shape, they can help direct, they can help personalize, they can help make creative more relevant. But at the same time, within the industry, it's never been more important to be creative and stay creative and for new, fresh ideas to be coming out. Never more important. That's the way you stand out. That's the way you make your brand different. It's the way that you attract new customers. It's the way that you'll retain existing customers, is by looking forwards rather than just looking at what you did yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. I think that would be my takeout as well. Like, instead of recreating the best practice from the past, be eager enough to create the best practice of tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think that's what we should do, I think.
Thanks to all our listeners for joining today's episode of Connected. We'll be back again in 2 weeks. Remember to subscribe, and you can check out our website for more information on any of the topics we discussed at merkelink.com. We look forward to you joining us next time. Catch you soon.